So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So in the book of John, chapter 16, I'm going to verse 33. 16 and 33 from the New Living Translation. It says, I have told you all this that you may have peace in me. Now this is Jesus talking. He said, I've told you all that I've told you in chapter 16. So that you can have peace in me. Now that's important. Because the peace that we're talking about is in Jesus. Now let me say this, that if you don't know Jesus, then you can't have his peace that's in him. You've got to know him in order to have his peace. Well, preacher, what if I don't know him? You can get to know him in just a moment. Matter of fact, you can even talk to him as I'm talking. You can ask him to save you right where you're at, come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. And he said, I'm just and I am faithful to come in and forgive you of your sins. So you can get right before I ever get through with this message. But he said, in me, you will have peace. But then he said, here on the earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Now here's what I want to do. Everybody, would you do this with me? Lift up your hand and say, Father, let me receive what I need in my life. Help me not to shovel it to my neighbor, behind me, or beside me. But let me receive in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. Dealing with trauma and drama. Or drama and trauma. Because how many knows that they are duo cousins? Trouble, drama, and trauma are a part of life. Now, if you're sitting in this place today and says, I've never gone through any trauma or drama, it's because you ain't lived long enough. That, or you just so stupid, you don't even know you've been through something. I'm going to assume that it's the first one, that you're just too young to have gone through anything and you don't know. But can I tell you that even from birth, when you're in the birthing process, that's drama and some trauma. I'm glad I don't remember it. But just because you get saved, and just because you know Jesus, doesn't mean that you are exempt from drama and trauma. Now, there was a doctrine that went through the churches in, I don't know, maybe in the 80s or 90s, that if you got saved, everything was going to just go good for you. And then when it didn't, there was a lot of people who gave up on God because somebody was preaching a gospel that wasn't the gospel. Because the gospel right here in John, Jesus said, in this life, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Jesus didn't give any false advertisement. You're going to have some trouble in this life, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And not only did I overcome the world, but I'm leaving you something that people who don't know me don't have, and that is my peace I leave with you. See, now today, this is grown folk church. What do you mean? I mean, there's some folks who can't handle this stuff. The baby Christians, y'all just need to go ahead and put a bottle in their mouth and let them just go on to sleep or something, because this is grown folk. This is grown folk church, where I'm telling you that if you're saved, I don't care how much faith you have, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, you're going to go through some stuff if you live in this world, because we might not be of this world, but we are still in the world, and we got to operate down here. And there is just some drama and some trauma that's going to happen in your life. You don't get saved and live happily ever after. But if I take the totality of my life, it is happily ever after. But if I begin to take snippets of my life, there has been some drama and trauma and trouble and problems. But there's been some good and great and wonderful and all those. If I take the totality of my life, then yes, it has been a good life. But if you came today thinking I'm going to get things right with Jesus and I'm never going to go through any more drama or trauma, you at the wrong place. But I came to tell you some truth this morning. If you will just receive it, then Pastor, why should I get things right with Jesus if I'm not guaranteed for things to go right? Because if you're going to go through something, wouldn't you want somebody on your side? Wouldn't you want somebody that could hold you in the palm of their hand and walk you through the storm and hold you and not let the things that you go through define who you are? Dealing with drama and trauma. There's a peace in Jesus, he said, but in this world you will have trauma and drama. Baby mama drama. Baby daddy drama. Drama in your body. Drama in your back. Trauma in your finances. Drama on the job. Bad hair day drama. Come on, somebody. I saw some folks who are bald rubbing their head. Yes, sir, I know what you mean. In this world, you will have trouble. But now, if Jesus is forewarning you, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. If you know it's coming, you can get ready. You know, we just dodged a bullet, to God be the glory, for Hurricane Dorian. But, of course, we understand that Bahamas didn't. Last week or the week before, I can't even remember, my days are running together. We received an offer for $6,500 that we sent to Hurricane Dorian to help the victims of Hurricane Dorian. Now, I want to share this with you because many of you don't know this, that you are a part of the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And so to let you know that a week ago, there was a container, a ship container full of thousands and thousands of pounds of goods headed to the Bahamas from the Church of God. I want you to know that there is a ship, and I don't know if we own it or who owns it, but there is a ship that serves 5,000 meals a day that is docked at the Bahamas that the Church of God is paying for and or belongs to. I don't know, but I know that we're the reason why it's there. So I want you to know that you're part of a bigger situation and a bigger church other than just our church. Our 6,500 went a long way, but how many knows feeding 5,000 people a day goes a lot further? But they're able to do that because of some of the things that we've done. So I just want to give that to you. But the good thing about Florida most of the time is that we can see the hurricane coming. And therefore we prepare for the trouble and the storm that's coming to the best of our ability. You still can't, you cannot prepare for 20-foot flood stage and 20-foot surges. I don't care how many sandbags you got. You just can't do it. You cannot prepare. This building was engineered to withstand 140 mile an hour wind. When it's 200, I don't know what you're going to do. And for those of you who wonder, Pastor, why are we not a shelter? Because we on this side of 19. We are the ones who must evacuate. Yeah, that's why. Well, why'd y'all build here? Because here's where we had land. Because here's where we bought land. It's all good. But to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And prior knowledge of possible dangers or problems gives you a tactical advantage. So if you don't walk around with your head in the sky all the time and your head in the clouds singing kumbaya, you realize that you still live in an earth that is fallen, and you still live with people that are falling, and not only are they damaged, but so are you and I. All right? So we're just fleshing this thing out. Let me just go ahead and go on record that I have not got it together in this area, but I'm working on it. What do you do, though, Pastor, when you have to deal with stuff that just slaps you upside your head without any forewarning, and this trauma and drama takes place in your life. Well, Jesus did not give us a fairy tale. In this world, you will have tribulations. And I know that some preachers say if you have enough faith, you won't go through any. Then other preachers tell you, you're not, when you get saved, you're not in this world. Well, I don't know where you're at, but you're still here. And it doesn't matter how much faith you got, you don't know that your faith works until it is tested. You don't know if your faith can be trusted if it has never been tested. You don't know that you can shoot a gun when somebody's shooting at you unless you've been shot at. We go out here and target practice when we don't have any trouble and say, look at me, I'm a dead shot. Well, listen, there was a fella, I don't know if he's here today or not, but he's 6'5", 240, 60 pounds, something like that. And he and I was talking one day, and he learning karate. And I said, have you ever been hit in the face? He said, no. I said, then I would beat the stew out of you. I don't know karate, but I know crazy. Are you understand? Because it's not good enough just to know that there is danger until you have faced danger. Until you've been in a fight or two, you don't know what you're going to do when you've been tested. You don't know what you're going to do when you get hit square in the nose and your eyes water because you've been hit in the face. You don't know what you're going to do. So your faith might be high and it might be huge and it might be big. But until you come up against some trauma or drama, you don't know that if you can trust what you think you know. But I didn't come by today to tell you, to pat you on the back and tell you you ain't ever going to go through trouble. I've come to do the exact opposite, that you're going to go through some situations and some trouble. But I come by to tell you that the peace of God is bigger than your trouble. It is bigger than your situation. Listen, peace is not the result of having peaceful situations in life. Well, it's easy to have peace when there's no turmoil. It's easy to have peace when there's no drama. It's easy to have peace when there's no drama. It's easy to have peace. But can you still have peace when you're going through trauma and drama? Peace is an understanding. Peace is a perspective that God is greater than the current circumstances that I have found myself in. That it is greater than the trauma and the drama in my life. That's what peace is. Because listen, when you really understand peace, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the understanding or realization of the presence of God. Now, I wanted you to hear that. Peace, do I have this? I think I have this. Craig, do I? No, I don't have it. All right, well, I'll tell it again then. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the understanding or realization of the presence of God. That the presence of God does not leave me just because trauma is in my life. Drama doesn't cause the peace of God or the presence of God to exit stage left just because I've gone into some issues. No, matter of fact, it becomes more evident that the presence of God is here when everybody's wigging out and tripping out and you're like, I don't understand, but I felt peace. I don't know. I should be wigging out. I should be tripping out, but I've got peace. That's the presence of God. Because can I tell you that God never panics? Nor does God get in a hurry. Ooh, I wish he would. Hurry up, God. But God never panics nor gets in a hurry. And people get in a hurry because they get behind time. Or they get distracted by something else. Or time slips up on them. Or time slips by them. But I've come by to tell you that the God of the universe, the master of time and space, nothing ever slips up on him. Nothing ever gets by him. He never gets distracted. He knows exactly where you're at. Oh, I'm preaching better than you. Amen. He never gets in a hurry. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, we realize that God, or that Jesus is in a storm. And the disciples are all around him saying, wake up, wake up. And then they say this, Lord, carest not that we perish. It's the King James Version. Here's the Florida version. God, where are you? Don't you see where I'm at? God, where are you? Don't you see that I'm perishing? But listen, church. When we get in a storm, don't all of us run to God? Most of us run to God. But if you ever get to God and God's panicking, then you might as well slit your wrist and your throat, because you're done. If you ever come to God and God's looking like Barney Fife trying to get that one bullet out of his pocket, if God looks like Pee Wee Herman not knowing what to do, if God looks like you, then you're done for. But God doesn't panic. God doesn't get in a hurry. He said, don't you care that we're perishing when we get in that storm? God never panics. God never gets in a hurry. So peace is a perspective. Why is everybody else panicking in the storm and Jesus is in the bow of the ship asleep? Because he didn't care. That's why. He don't know what we're going through. No, that's not why. Here's why. Because you can sleep in a storm when there is no storm in you. See, that's the problem. We let the storm get in us, and then we become the issue. But there is no, that when there is no storm in you, you can sleep. I'm not there yet. Storms still disturb my sleep. Sometimes I sleep good, sometimes I don't sleep good. Sometimes I get mad at myself have you ever got mad at yourself because you let stuff bother you? I don't even understand why I even read that email. I shouldn't have read that email. I should have waited till in the morning and read it at the office. Now I'm going to sleep. You know. Somebody wrote me an email not too long ago. They fired one at me. Boy, I fired one back. Ha! I didn't hit send. But I told them off. I don't remember who it is. You might be here this morning. I don't even know. But I typed it. And the Lord said, don't send it. I said, you should have told them that. I get tired. But I didn't send it. And guess what? Everything was good. Matter of fact, when I talked to that person about the email, it wasn't even what I thought it was. And I was like, whoo, come on, somebody. You can sleep in a storm when there is no storm in you. There was no storm in Jesus, and the biggest storms of drama and trauma are the storms that rage between your own ears. There's a storm that rages in between our own ears. Because we're thinking about what could or should or could have happened. Are we thinking of when this is going to work out or when we're going to come out of this? When will this task be over? When? And an internal storm is always worse than an external storm. It's always worse inside than it is outside. It's always worse when the internal storm is going on inside of us. Well, Pastor, you'd already been preaching about 15 minutes and you ain't even gave us point one. Point one. Dealing with drama and trauma. Realize that drama and trauma are periodically normal to life. I'm setting somebody free right there. Wait a minute. You mean I'm normal? I didn't say that. I just said that drama and trauma are normal to life. That if you live long enough, you're going to have some drama and trauma. Now listen, you shouldn't be living from one drama to the next drama and trauma all the time. Now listen to me closely. If you're living in drama all the time, you're doing something wrong. had somebody call me, or not call me, but they sent me a message yesterday or today. I don't remember which one it was. And they said, "Pastor, pray for me." And I thought, oh, Jesus. I've known this person most of their life, or I know I've known them for 20 years, over 20 years. Pray for me. I've got some decisions to make, and I know that I've made wrong decisions. Child, you know you have. I know I haven't made right decisions in the past. Child, you preaching now. And I pray that I would make right decisions. Yes, Lord. Lord, touch them. You may help them make right decisions, Lord. Lord, you touch them before I do, Jesus. I mean, I'm trying to, yeah. But you got to understand something. Every time you turn around, here comes Miss Drama. Every time you turn around, little drama boy is on your step. There comes a time that you got to make some decisions. You got to quit. You got to quit inviting brother El Nino and Sister Twister into your life. I'm trying to help somebody here. Take a hard look at some of your choices, and even some of the people you're hanging around, because some people don't have a personality without some drama. And some people can't stand you being at peace without bringing their drama into your life. Bringing their trauma into your life. You've got to be able to pray for them, but yet keep their drama and their trauma on another level. Somebody needs to hear me. Because you can't let their drama become your drama when it ain't your trauma. Am I talking to anybody? Drama and trauma are not necessarily that you have sinned and it's punishment time. I'm talking to somebody. You mean I'm not in this situation because? Not necessarily. Now I want you to understand, if you don't hear nothing else I say, understand these three things I'm about to say to you. We suffer wrong, or we suffer from doing wrong. Your kids didn't have nothing to say about your divorce. But yet they living with it. Some of you living with abuse, and you didn't have nothing to do with that, but it was to you. So we suffer from people doing wrong. All right, listen. Sometimes we suffer from me doing wrong. I suffer from me doing wrong. All right, everybody got that? Here we go. Here comes another one. This is the nugget. You also suffer from you doing right. Wait. I didn't stutter. I didn't mix it up this time. You suffer when you make wrong decisions and do wrong. You also suffer when you do right. That doesn't make a sense of a hill of beans. Pastor, what are you? You also suffer for no apparent reason at all. Oh, sign me up for that. That's what I want. But it's a difference, man. See, you're going to go through. The more that I do right, there's some drama I'm going to stay out of. But there's some drama I'm going to come into for doing right. Huh? Well, I don't believe that. Well, let's read Job. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says that Job was a man that was upright and blameless, fearing God and turning from evil. But yet he lost his family. He lost his kids. He lost his everything that he owned. And the only thing that he was left with was his nagging wife. And he said, "Lord, I think you forgot one." Because she said, "How long are you going to continue to hang on to hope? How long are you going to continue to hang on to God when he has done this?" No, I'm not here because I did wrong. I'm here because I did right. And here's what I know. Whether I did wrong or whether I did right, or whether I am a victim of circumstances, I know in whom I have believed. My Redeemer is alive and is well. And I might not know how, I might not know when, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and if I hold on to his unchanging hand, he will bring me up. He will bring me out. I don't know how. I don't know how long. But drama and trauma did not come to stay at my house forever. Woo! because of anything that Job did that brought his suffering on him. Sometimes when drama or trauma come, we feel the need to pinpoint it to somebody and blame somebody. Because it makes us feel better if we can blame it on somebody rather than me. And let me help you. Sometimes it's not you. And sometimes it is you. Sometimes you feel like a nut. And sometimes you don't. That's part of living in a fallen world where we become victims of circumstances. There is no life without trauma. There is no love without a little drama. There is no intimacy without vulnerability. Everybody I know that is in love with somebody from time to time will have a little or a lot of drama. And anybody that you're going to have fun with, that you're going to, it's going to create some drama from time to time. It's just that way. So, man, I was told of the story of a Jamaican man. It was in room 858. He and his wife had gotten away for a little time alone. Yeah. And he calls down to the front desk and he says to the front desk, "You must send somebody up quickly. My wife and I are arguing and she tells me she wants to jump out of a window and you need to send somebody up here." The church or the clerk in the, at the desk says, "Sir, that is a personal matter and we cannot send anyone to your room." And the Jamaican man says, "You idiot. She can't get the window open. That's a maintenance issue." There's always a little drama and trauma. Something has to bring the spice. Somebody has to bring the hot sauce. And sometimes it comes with a little drama and a little trauma. So can I tell you that drama and trauma are periodically part of life from time to time. Point number two is this. Quit trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. Quit trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. I'm going to say it again. Quit trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. Faith is one thing. But sometimes we do stupid things in the arena of faith. And now understand that God can do whatever he wants to do. But I struggle when we pray against Dorian and say, "Look what the Lord did for me." Do you don't think the Bahamians were praying? When it hovered there 36 to 42 hours? Yeah, that was some praying. I promise you, that was some folks who didn't know Jesus who was praying. Listen to me. Now, in the book of Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8 in the NIV version, that is the nearly inspired version. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus answered, says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear wars and rumors of wars," but I like this verse 6, "but see to it that you are not alarmed." See to it that you are not alarmed. "Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginnings of the birth pains." "Don't be troubled over this," Jesus said. "In me you will have peace, but in the world there's going to be drama and trauma. All this is the beginning of birth pains, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Because you cannot control the storm, but you can control yourself." You can't control the storm, but you can control yourself. Listen to me. Some of you need to get off Fox News. Some of y'all need to get off CNN News. And some of y'all need to quit following, or not maybe quit following, but quit following so closely all this revelation teaching. because you getting all worked up and alarmed. Ooh, Lord, child. You know that, you know, child, that volcano, you know it erupted, and you know it's the end of times. Ooh, child, you see how hot it was. I ain't ever in my life. I'm 94 years old. I ain't ever seen it this hot before in my life. It's about to come to a close. Can I tell you this? Jesus is coming. But when? I don't know. There was a lady that came into my office. She brought a 3-ring binder. I always get nervous when people sit down with a 3-ring binder. She sat down on a 3-ring binder about a year and a half ago, and she said, Pastor, you need to start preaching this. I said, well, preaching what? She had her binder. She had her binder out there. I grabbed my Bible. We going to measure. Let's measure. You preach from your 3-ring binder. I'll preach from the Bible. We'll see which one goes. Come on, somebody. But she said that, Pastor, and she began to share me all these dates. She began to tell me all these prophets. She goes through all of these things telling me when Jesus was going to come back in, was it September 12th, 2018. She said, you need to tell him. I said, well, Jesus is coming. He's coming back on that date. And you need to tell him, Pastor. And she was sincere. I'm not making fun of her. She was sincere. She ain't here today. I don't know if Jesus took her or not. Might have been her date. I don't know. I seen her after that, though. I seen her like the day after. I just looked at her. Have you ascended or are you here? I also told her I might have to stone you. You was trying to be a prophet and it didn't come to pass, so I'm about to bring you into the corner, into the court of the church and stone you. I'm gonna rock your world. Let me tell you, see, I'm not against prophecy, preaching, and teaching. I'm not against end time doctrine, because everybody's like, well, why do you want to know? Well, I want to know. Because you nosy? No, I want to know so I'm ready. I'm like the old boy who says, I stays ready so I don't have to get ready. See, that's what some of us want to know. Do I need to act a fool now or can I act a fool later? Can I do what I want to do now? And if I know in Jesus, when it gets a little closer, I'm going to get a little closer to him. But when you don't know, you just better stay ready. Let me tell you this. Let me give you all the prophecy you're going to need. We living in the last days, without a doubt. And if it ain't the last days, it's your last days. What do you mean? I'm saying you ain't promised tomorrow. We did a funeral a memorial service Thursday for a 54-year-old woman. Boy, that's close to home. That's real close to home. So if it ain't your last days, you're living in your last days. So stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. The storm will pass. You can't control the storm, but you can control yourself. So you've got to know that Dorian stayed over the Bahamas for 36 to 42 hours. But the one thing that it had with every other storm that's ever formed, it passed. It might not want to pass. You doesn't pass as fast as you want it to, but it will pass. So understand that the drama and the trauma that you're in did not come to your house to last forever. That I can tell you that it has an expiration date. Now, with that expiration date, make sure you don't keep moving the date because of something you do. That's good preaching, Pastor. You can't get control of the situation until you first get control of yourself. When they came to Jesus, Jesus didn't wake up. Whew. When he was in the boat in Mark 4, he didn't wake up. Hold on, what's going on? Hang on. I'm going to need a cup of coffee. Come on, somebody. He just woke up. Spoke to the storm, spoke to the waves, and the men said, who is this that even the waves and the winds obey? See, most of the time, think about what it takes to get you to calm down. For many, For many, you just need to keep breathing. Breathe in deep. And let it out. Well, that ain't very spiritual. You'd be surprised. Job said, I ain't going to open my mouth so that I might not sin against God, but I'm going to keep breathing. Hey, Job.
Mm-hmm.
All your kids just got killed.
Oh, Jesus.
Job.
Mm-hmm.
All your camels just died. Oh, Job. All your lambs, all your donkeys, everything's gone. You're broke. You're busted. Did you hear me?
I heard you.
Well, what you gonna do? What can I do? I can't control the storm, but I can control me. I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. I can't control it, but I can control me. So sometimes just keep breathing.
Oh, Lord, child, I need a strong, stiff drink.
You know, do nothing to make it worse. Well, to calm my nerves, that means you don't have a good enough relationship with Jesus. Let him calm your nerves.
I tell you, I just need some crack.
Well, crack open your Bible. Pastor, I just need, listen, I understand. But here's something. This is incredible. Are you ready? This is deep, man. This is why y'all make me the senior pastor, because I'm so much deeper than the other guys. Are you ready for this? Breathe and pray.
Well, Lord, I know that.
Why don't you do it? I didn't say beg and complain. There's a difference. I'm not telling you go, oh God, don't you know where I'm at? Ha. I can't believe I'm still in this mess. I can't believe I'm still walking around these walls. I thought by now they'd fall. Why don't you open up your Bible? Begin to read some of the Psalms. Yea, though I walk through the valley. That's the operative word, through. I'm going through. I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Though the mountains be swallowed up, there is a river whose is God's. Begin to pray, not beg, not complain, pray. All right? I'm giving you some practical things here. Praying is not practical. Yes, it is. Because as you magnify God, it takes the magnification off of your drama and your trauma. Read your Bible. Now, if you're going through some trauma, I would suggest not to go through Numbers. Or don't even go into Nehemiah. I've been in Nehemiah during my reading, and all the names of all the people. Shemaliah, Komoliah. Well, you could be speaking in tongues just reading some names, boy. That might not help you. But get into the Bible, read it. Here comes another one. Sing or listen to music that has the capacity to calm you. That's what I do, Pastor.
Welcome to the jungle. Because I'm back in black. Crazy train, pour some sugar on me.
Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, I'm not judging. I'm just saying, man. Whatever causes it, relax. It might be
born to be wild.
Just say, man. Because I'm a free bird, yeah. Have a change of scenery. Everybody has a place that brings calm. It's maybe for some folks nature. That's not me. I don't want to be out in the woods. I want to ride through the woods on an asphalt road on my Harley. But I don't want to be in the woods with all the bugs because I'm allergic. I'll be all swole up, giving myself some more drama and some trauma. Change of scenery. For some folks, it's the woods. You know, I mean, I saw, you know, hunting season start. I saw all those pictures. Can't wait to be in the woods. And then they put on their camo and I can't see them. For some folks, my wife won, the beach. I got my toes in the water. I'm just saying. For some, it's the beach. For others, it's the mountains. Wherever you can go to get calm, that's what you need to do. Now, hear me. I'm not talking about running away from your trouble. Completely two different things. My sister-in-law said, it'll find you. That's right. You go to the mountain with trouble, trouble right there. Here I am. You might have beat him there because you were driving fast, but it's coming. But you go there to calm yourself. You do something to calm, but don't run away from it. Because people have a tendency to reflect how you are in control. See, the disciples was chill without Netflix because Jesus was chill. When they woke Jesus up, Lord, don't you care that we perish? I got this, man. It's all good. Y'all check this out. Waves and storm, peace, be still. I got this. A parent trying to calm down a child. I know a lot of y'all don't do that. You know, you ever had a child to hold their breath? They get upset and hold it. Ah! They'll catch your breath if you hit them just right. Make them catch it. That's what I was looking for, some breath. But you can't yell at a two-year-old and expect a two-year-old to calm down. I told this story, and I've told it before, but not on a Sunday morning, but I'll tell it this morning. Me and Justin's daughter has a weird relationship. Miss Selah. Miss Selah's a handful. Anybody ever had her in nursery? Y'all know she's a handful. She was good for you? Yeah. Because she was reflecting you probably. Selah's a card. She was running in this sanctuary. Just to let y'all know, I don't like kids running in the sanctuary. Why? Because they're going to hit something and then they're going to be crying. And then y'all going to be like, hey, shut up. So she was running and I grabbed her up and I kissed her. She said, Pastor, let me down. I said, Selah, quit running. Leave me alone. I said, you leave me alone. Y'all think I'm kidding. Y'all can ask Danielle. She said, I don't like you, Pastor. And then Danielle said, Selah, before she could get it out, I said, I don't like you either. And it was raining, you know, and I don't know where Justin was at school, and it was raining. So Danielle had three kids to get out to the cart, so I helped her with Weston, and I was helping her out with Weston. And so Selah was out in front of me, and she got in the car. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to your car. She got up in the car, and she said, I don't like you, Pastor. I said, I don't like you either. Well, it gets worse. Then she said, I hate you. I said, I hate you too. And then she looked at me and grinned. And I could have went away butt hurt, but I decided I wouldn't. I'd just get on her level. It was kind of fun. And then the day they walked in, she see me, she goes, one hug. I said, I only wanted one. shuts down when you're not calm. You must model it for them to get control. You must model it for them get control of yourself. I said, I ain't there yet. I'm still working on it. There are times I do good, times I don't do good. So we're all working on this thing together. But here's what I do know. Is that drama and trauma are a part of our lives. Yeah, come on. I'm done. I'm only on point two. I got seven. And again, I'm not trying to just get you to come back Wednesday night, but I'm going to finish it either Wednesday night or it won't be next Sunday because we have baptism, so it'll be the following Sunday. So it's either going to be this Wednesday or next Sunday. I know some of y'all already, you know, it's on YouVersion. Some of y'all done read it. I ain't coming back. Ain't worth it. But I ain't give you everything. I'm like one of them cooks. I'm just going to give you the main ingredients, but I got a little sauce I got to put on there. I will tell you this. The third point is simply keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm going to unpack that next time we get together. Well, Pastor, why can't you say you're going to do it Wednesday? I think I am, but it's marinating. I got to. But what I do know is you can't ask him, Jesus, let me have your peace if you don't know him. And, you know, there are some of you that I know, and then there are some that I know. John and Charlene, I know John and Charlene. I know the good, the bad, the ugly. The ugliest part on his part, not on hers. But I know. I've known them for 24 years, 25 years. No wonder what's wrong with me. No, but you understand, I know them. Nick, I mean, I could go over so many people that I know that if I really needed something, I could call you. And if it was within your power, you would do it. Now, some of you might do it, but I don't know you well enough to call you to do it. Wouldn't it be crazy just to call up a perfect stranger? Hey, man, I need to borrow your car. You know what they would say. Now, only Harley owners understand this thing. My Harley was in the shop, and one of my Harley friends called me and said, hey, man, you off tomorrow? Won't we go riding? I said, oh, man, my Harley's in the shop. Well, you know I got two. I said, well, you know I wasn't going to ask to ride one. That's unheard of in the Harley community. It's almost, you know, they're weird. I'm not, but they are. Because I'm like an outsider. But anyway. When you know Jesus, and I say, God, I don't need Mark's peace. I don't need John's. Do we have a Matthew? Where's a Matthew? I don't need Matthew or Luke's. I need your peace. Because I know that the storm has lasted longer than you wanted it to. The drama has been going on longer than you wanted it to. The trauma has happened more times than you wanted it to. But I need your peace. So I can realize I need your presence. So I can have perspective that you're bigger than what I'm going through. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you this morning or afternoon now. But if you don't know Jesus, I want to offer you an opportunity to ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and begin a personal relationship with him. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, but you want to, would you just lift up your hand and you can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Spirit Life Team, would you come right now as I continue just to lead? Everybody in this building, especially those four that raised your hand, would you pray this prayer with me? God, forgive me of my sin. I'm not blaming anybody. It's me. Forgive me. And by your blood, make me whole. From this day forward, I commit and submit my life to you. And I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus praise in the house. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Yay.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.